Thank you for your giving this morning, and along with Pastor, we just echo our appreciation for your faithfulness. We are in that period of time, as Pastor's been announcing and others, that we are setting up our missions budget for next year. And two things that we always want to do is increase pledges, and we've been able to do that consistently through the years, and also be able to fund special projects as they come up with missionaries. And your faithfulness helps us do that. We couldn't do it without it. We could not support 20 missionary families consistently with the idea of raising budgets, raising pledges from year to year if you were not faithful. So if you haven't already prayerfully considered a monthly faith promise, we would appreciate that. And then, of course, each month in the second Sunday, on the second Sunday, as we receive the missions offering, you're always challenged to give a little extra or to give a one-time offering if you're not supporting on a monthly basis. And that would be appreciated so very, very much. Tony, it is good to see you wearing the jersey of a winner, finally. Through the years, my greatest source for learning compassion through the years, you know where I'm going with this, has been my prayer for Lions fans and just how tough it's been. But they've had a good start this year. I mean, it'll last maybe a game or two longer, but they've had a good start. No. Oh, just that was too much vulnerability there, man. You can't let that go by. We are delighted to have with us today representatives of a missionary family. Jeremy's not with us today. He's in Green Bay, Wendy, is that right? And he's doing a missions window in a church, in Freedom Church, I believe. Great church, been doing great over the past few years. And he's there today, and Wendy and the daughters are with us today. They are missionaries to Ukraine. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because last week, we had missionaries to Ukraine. And if that sounds familiar, that's because my wife and I go there almost every year to Ukraine. So there's an identity there because there's a great need. And the Osborne family are now living in Odessa. And upon their return, which will be their second term, they are looking at starting a new international church. Always a great work. I've always been a little bit envious of international pastors. They pastor expatriates from literally all over the world. Typically, they're English-speaking, although they may have some people in the church and leadership that typically they do that speaks the language of the native country. But national churches are a great work. And, Wendy, our thoughts and our prayers are with you guys as you raise your budget and as you envision this new work in the great city of Odessa in Ukraine. Kind of a hot spot right now, but not just militarily, for God as well. For God as well. God is doing great things. You're going to hear some of those things. Wendy, would you come? Let's welcome her as she comes this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Young. Thank you all so much. The first and last thing we want you to hear from us, the thing that we want you to walk away from remembering, is that we are so grateful for your support. From our last term all the way to present and going on into the future, we could not do what we're doing without you all supporting us, really. From jerseys to offering to faith promises, we have appreciated that over our first term. I'm just going to quickly reintroduce our family in case you weren't a part of this church a few years ago when we came to visit. My name is Wendy. I grew up in church. Not to say I lived a charmed life. I have lived life, but grew up in church and felt called to missions when I was a little girl. And I'm super excited that even though it's taken this long, I mean, really, we just went a few years ago and I'm kind of old already. I'm just grateful that God has moved in that area of my life. My daughter is Theodora. She's with me here this morning. In the middle there, you'll see my son. He just ditched you this morning, didn't he? He's got a friend from family camp that came looking for him, and he is down in Green Bay, ironically. Just saying. I'm from Wisconsin, so. And then we have Ivana. She's 9. She's down in Children's Church. And Jeremy, my husband, he is old like me, and he felt called into missions when he was an adult. So things don't always look the same for everybody. I think sometimes in church we get tempted to throw things into a box, into a formula, that things ought to and should look like this. And that's not necessarily the case all the time, as you'll hear as I share this morning. So we're super excited to come and share what God's done. I'm going to just quickly review where Ukraine is. Maybe last week Paul shared with you all about some of these stats, but I'll just go through it real quickly for the sake of time. Ukraine is the pink country here, closest to Russia. It is the largest country in Europe, but it's not a part of the EU. They still have some things they need to work on to become a part of the European Union, but Ukraine is full of all kinds of different things like forests and rivers and tiny villages and big cities, and we have mountains, and we even have a little desert kind of close to where we live. If we go to the next slide, you'll see Ukraine is about the size of Texas. And in each area, I'm going to kind of go to the Jersey thing again, then I'll stop. Pastor Young paid me. No, I'm just kidding. The shirts we're wearing this morning are kind of like how we do our jerseys here in the United States. So Ukraine is about the size of Texas, and what we would call counties in our states is like their states. And each one of those oblasts has a different pattern for their shirt, different colors, different threads they use, different style. And they can identify each other from where they're from, like we do with our jerseys here in the United States. So you can say, oh, he must be from Florida. You must be from Green Bay. You must be so on and so forth. So these shirts that are on our prayer cards and so on are representative of clothing they wear in Ukraine. And so that's how we tell where each person's from in Ukraine. Maybe not us, but the Ukrainians do. But Odessa is an international city on the Black Sea. When we first arrived, we landed in Kyiv. And Paul and Christine Piarki, who were here last week, helped us figure out life. They helped us figure out how to shop and how to get a place to rent and do all the things that, you know, we really take for granted as automated things in our lives, and use the metro and all that kind of stuff. And then once we got our feet underneath us, a church down in Odessa, just God brought us together through a series of circumstances, and they invited us down to Odessa to help them reach English-speaking internationals. So the next slide is a picture of this church. It is approaching about 1,000 in attendance. This church is super active in Odessa. Odessa is the size of Milwaukee. It has about the same feel, although it's on the sea, so it's a little warmer. In terms of culture, maybe not so cold in some pockets of the city, but it's about the size of Milwaukee, has about the same type of people from everywhere. And so the church there has had a hard time reaching English-speaking internationals. Now, that means anybody from anywhere, because a lot of people speak English if they are having the international life there. But we have been so honored to work with this church. And though we were not in a position to launch a church in our first term because we had to focus on language and culture, we are going to do that in our second term, and I'll share a bit more about that. First of all, I want to share with you that this national church has opened 2 big doors for ministry that we did not anticipate at all. Like, it was not on our radar at all. And the first one is our Veterans of War Reassimilation Ministries. Now, to understand why there's a need here for that, I want you guys to comprehend just real quickly the situation in Ukraine. Ukraine is at war. It's complicated, but they're at war. So far, they've lost over 13,000 people, civilians and soldiers, to this conflict that is ongoing in Ukraine. There is no such thing as veterans benefits. There's no such thing as payouts to families if someone is injured or killed. There's no VA. There's no psychological care. There is no pay unless you're handpicked by the government. If you have a special skill and they pick you, they'll pay you. They'll provide for you. If you just want to enlist because you're 18 and you're altruistic and you want to fight for your country, you will have to pay your own way. You have to buy your own uniform, your own gun, your own ammo. If you are a leader in in any capacity. You have to make sure your men are taken care of and fed and so on. So it's a completely different situation than we have here. It's a much, much tougher situation. And now the government has come to the church and said, we see you doing all these amazing things throughout Odessa. We see you feeding the poor and keeping track of the elderly and going into orphanages and doing all of these wonderful works. We need help with the military. And so I was in on a meeting with this particular church. They spoke this need. They said, we're going to pray about it, and God's going to give us a plan, and we're going to come up with a program. And so after the meeting, I said, hey, I know some people in the United States that work with U.S. veterans. Can I call them and see if we can translate that material and get that working over here? And they said, yeah, absolutely. And so I called a friend of mine who's a part of an AG ministry here in the United States and told him everything I told you in a lot more details. And he said, Wendy, listen, this was a call in December that I made. He said, this year, earlier this year, we felt God leading us to translate our material into Russian, which is a language we need. And we went ahead and did it. And now it's December. And now people are asking, what are you going to do about it? So on my list for January is, who do we roll this out to? And now here on December 20th, you're calling me saying, we need material in Russian. Isn't God good? I mean, totally awesome. So there was one more chunk of material that we had translated here in the United States. And when we flew out in May, just a few months ago, literally while we're on the plane flying out with our dog and all of our bins and chaos that is the Osbournes, our leaders from that national church were in training to roll out this program, and they have since begun to launch this program for veterans of war. So that is one huge door that God opened. Jeremy's not a veteran. I'm not a veteran. I'm a middle-aged American woman. You know, I mean, we have nothing personal to offer this project, and yet God used us because of where he placed us. And I want you to hear that theme this morning. We think we got to bring all kinds of big gifts and skills to the table, and God can't possibly use us unless we have this degree or this training or whatever. That's not the case. He just wants our obedience. The second big door was Special Touch in Ukraine. Special Touch Ministries is a U.S. ministry here who ministers to people with disabilities. Physical, mental, intellectual, it doesn't matter. They minister to everybody and their families. And so, again, the government came to that church, same meeting, and said, we have people in institutions that we don't know what to do with. Now, in Ukraine, you would have to rewind the clock here, I don't know how many decades, to understand that when a child is born, up until recently, they were automatically institutionalized. Not because people are heartless, but because they're living in villages where they are hand-milking cows. They're living like the Amish, or they're living like Little House on the Prairie as shown on TV years ago. And so they don't, if your child has a need and you need OT or, you know, occupational therapy, physical therapy, special education, there's no way to do that. So they institutionalize all of the people with disabilities and work with them the best they can. And again, they're underfunded. They're not educated to the point that we are in the West. And so just recently, a handful of people have begun to become advocates for the disability community. And so God allowed for Debbie and Charlie Chivers, this ministry from the United States, to come over. We drove from Odessa in our Speed the Light vehicle. Thank you very much. Charlie has some pretty awesome footage, you guys. The roads in Ukraine are rough. Potholes the size of that piano. I'm not kidding. It looks like somebody bombed the roads out over there because they haven't been maintained in 25, 30 years. So we need that Speed the Light vehicle because for one stretch of that particular journey, and you can ask the Chivers this, we rode down in the field for about 50 miles because we could not navigate the highway. So we zipped through the field with that all-wheel drive. Thank you. Thank you for wearing your jersey. Can't say thanks enough. Another sidebar, my son broke his leg, Tobin broke his leg right after we got to Ukraine, and we lived at the bottom of a hill that poor Barb and I, we charged up there one day to go get some chocolate. And I said, what are we going to do? We have a kid with a broken leg. We live at the bottom of a hill. The subway's ironically up at the top, then down a tunnel back to the bottom. It is literally under our apartment, but we can't tunnel down there. So we needed that vehicle very much. And in that particular trip for Special Touch, we were able to hit three major cities and a few villages along the way and connect with people who God had spoken to reach the disability community. So when we got toward the end of our term and I started saying, like, what did we do? What did we accomplish? Did we get off task? What is going on, God? God just revealed to me that you have helped enable 8 different house churches for those with disabilities to start. So you didn't church plant the way you thought you would, but Jeremy and I were able to utilize, again, just being in the right place at the right time, following God's will, to reach people with disabilities in Ukraine. So when we return, we're going to do some training, bring Charlie and Debbie back, get Charlie into the seminary where Pastor Young teaches when he visits, and get some theology of disability ministry in place, like that all people are created in the image of God, that everyone is gifted and has something to offer the kingdom, whether you are physically or intellectually able or not. We're all equal contributors to God's plan. So we are super excited about what God did in our first term. It was not the way we imagined it, but he accomplished things that were way bigger than what we imagined we'd be able to do. And so the cool thing is that he gets all the glory. We're simply, I explained in the first service, like a pawn on a chessboard. The pawn has very little power in and of itself. There's a lot of them. They're dispensable, so to speak. And the power doesn't come in the piece that you are, but by the person who's playing the game. And when God's hand is on your life and he's positioned you exactly where he wants you to be, he will open up doors and navigate you in such a way that is impossible without his power on your life. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that you may feel like you don't have a lot to offer. You may feel like you're not sure exactly where you should be, but God knows exactly what he's doing. Just sit still and let him move you. So that's what we did in our first term. We're going to switch gears here, and I'm going to talk about our dream for our second term. Now, in the first term, they wanted us to learn language and culture. We did our best, but I'm telling you, after 3 years in Ukraine, we speak like three-year-olds. So, I mean, we're on track, right? But Ukrainians say, oh, you guys are doing really well. Missionaries take 10 years or more to learn the language. Russian is hard. So we feel encouraged by that, although we're personally disappointed that we're not doing better in language. But we have a plan going on. So, like I said, Odessa is an international city. There are a ton of international students there. That's where we find ourselves living. The three biggest countries represented by these students are India, China, and Turkey. Are any of those open countries? Nope. But those students are being brought into Odessa because of their financial limits. They can't get all the way to America, but they're coming as west as they can to begin their education. So we have people from closed countries, all post-Soviet countries, all over the place, coming into our city as students. And you know, when you start university there, you're like 16 or 17 years old. You're not even 18 like we are here. So you're leaving not just your home to go up to, you know, Superior or something like that. You're leaving your country, you're leaving your culture, you're leaving your language, and there is a lot of availability for connection with these international students. So we saw this need. We saw God position us in a way where people are, you know, oh, you're from America, can you teach me English? And we have seen how God has shown us his plan for this next term as far as we understand it at this point. So we asked ourselves, what is the need here? The need is for community. And then how can we meet that need? We can meet that need through a multicultural center. So the first layer of this, so the multicultural center would be like a social hub. And the first spoke that we would develop is the American University Prep Center. And guess who, with his math degree, would be the director of that? Poor Jeremy, you know, all those years of that degree, and then he finishes it, he's called, and he's like, I don't know how we're going to use this in Ukraine, but he is able to take all of his resources for ACT and SAT test prep, CLEP test prep, and also will be able to help with the TOEFL exam, which is English proficiency for American University. So he'll be able to use that degree to open up a student center, and what is the biggest chunk of internationals in Odessa? Students. So we'll invite people into our home. We'll have an English-speaking club and a Russian-speaking club. And then we'll have people over for dinner because, you know, students are starving always They need pizza and cookies and all those kinds of things. Maybe not in Odessa, you know, but they need to eat. And they also are like 16 and 17 years old. You guys are babies. And so we'll invite them into our home. We'll work through the Alpha course, which is taking people from a point of who is God or who is he to me, to a decision for salvation. And then from that point, we'll work on one-on-one discipleship. So we are super excited about the fact that God is able to use Jeremy's degree in developing this university prep center for our multicultural center, which is what we're going to call church right here. So we'll have house church, and then we'll see where we need to expand to and where God leads us, and we're open to wherever those needs are to be able to meet those needs. So what have we accomplished? That need was for community. We've accomplished that need through corporate worship, through creating a place where people can come and hear about Christ. So, how can you get involved? Well, thankfully you already are, because you're supporting us monthly financially. I know we have praying people in this church. I've stayed in connection with a few people through our term who've checked in on us, and we so appreciate that. So first of all, that prayer partnership is key. If you haven't already, please grab a prayer card from the table. It looks like this. Maybe some of you remember last time our prayer cards look like this. We got a memo that they had to be standard this time, so we are back to rectangles. So take your rectangle, you can toss out that triangle, and have an updated picture and continue to pray for us. The second way that you can get involved is financial partnership. Now, you guys are already partnered with us monthly. Jeremy did some math, surprise, and figured out that if all of our partners increase their monthly giving by 50% or more, that we could meet our budget needs and be back in Ukraine. So we need an increase in monthly financial partnership. If God allows for the church to have that ability, we would sure appreciate that. And then the second need is the cash budget. Pastor Young mentioned special projects. We have a special project. It's a church plant. We have to raise $75,000 in cash in addition to what we need outside of that. So a total of over $100,000. And I know that sounds like a lot, and every week I struggle not to laugh because it's big. It's bigger than Jeremy and I, but it's not too big for God. But the truth is, if you break it down again, it's $2,000 a month or less to run a church. And so you can talk to your pastor afterwards or attend your business meeting. You're not going to see your budget at $2,000 or less to run the church. And so Jeremy always says when he's presenting with me, get it now. This is a great deal. Get in on this deal and help plant a church for just a few dollars a month. So either one of those ways would be a financial blessing. So just feel free to visit me at the table. The last way that you can become involved, and we would have to have a conversation over there, is to become a team member. And whether that's a short-term trip where you come for a week or two and help us like with an English camp or something, or whether that's a career choice all the way up to a couple years, I have information at the table. If God is calling you into missions, please talk to me. I'll get you the information you need. If you're not sure, please sign up for our newsletters. The information's on the back. And I will get you connected. And as we go and start planning trips, you'll be able to jump in on those trips as well. So don't hesitate to visit me at the table. I'll do my best to get back there. Sometimes I just enjoy chatting on the way back, and I never make it back there. But please find me. And just know that we are so grateful because you all have made this possible for us not only to accomplish what God set out for us to do, but also to go back and work again with internationals. So I just want to shift gears as we're looking toward ending the service in a few minutes and share a little bit out of God's word. First of all, I want to talk to you about hardships and how God can work through hardship. We don't like that. I mean, I've grown up in church. I feel like for a long time the culture has been like, if you're walking with God, then your life is sunny and full of rainbows. And that's just not the truth. That's not even what the Bible says. But somehow that's what we've believed for a long time. And God has so much more if we look at the whole of life. So people ask us often, you know, how was your first term? And it's just impossible to summarize 3 years into, you know, 30, 45 minutes. Poor Jeremy, he had 10 minutes this morning. I don't, you know, it's impossible. You couldn't do it for your lives either. But we have a choice as to how we respond because our lives were full of really great moments and really challenging moments. They were full of amazing new experiences and painful rejection open doors, and loneliness, amazing friendships and satanic attacks, Holy Spirit anointing and exhaustion, and then supernatural strength when we thought we were done, and then new challenges. So the point is that God was with us in it all, no matter what. He was with us in the highs and in the lows. His presence was there. We could feel him. We could sense him holding us. And Jeremy once told me he would repen Paul's words in 2 Corinthians that talk about Paul being shipwrecked and beaten and stoned and all, you know, all the hardships Paul went through. He said, if we had to do our term, it might sound something like this. We've been in two major back-to-back traffic accidents, like big accidents. We've been threatened by dangerous people. We've been under surveillance. Our license plates have been stolen for bribery. We've paid tickets that were assigned to us unjustly. We've been rejected and mocked for our calling and vision. We've lived in a dangerous situation. We've been sidelined and underutilized. We've been traumatized listening to other people's trauma, counseling people through their trauma. We've toughed it out with difficult people. We've had a child hit by a car. We have been pickpocketed. We have had our children mistreated. And we could go on. But God was with us every moment of every situation that we faced. He was not only with us, but he protected us, and he even used our presence in some dark, scary situations to shine his light to people who did not know him. We had one woman in particular that said to me, Wendy, through her thick accent, I don't understand. Why would you take your children from America where everything is good and safe and you would come to our country that's at war? Why are you living here and why in this neighborhood and why are you coming to this business all the time? Why are you here? And that was a perfect opportunity for us to share the gospel with her. You see, life is a mixture of exhilaration, really great things, and deep loss, and everything in between. But the one constant we have is Christ and his presence and movement in our lives. And what's the reason that Christ came? To reconcile and to redeem, to bring light into darkness. So, I don't have time this morning to get into every interesting story. You can ask Pastor Young, Pastor Dave, you can ask people who we had dinner with last night, and they can tell you the pickpocket story. But I do want to share this morning how God's light can shine in hard places. So we're going to look at Matthew 5 this morning. Just to give you a little bit of background, I'm not going to start at the beginning of the chapter, but if you just scan that, even with your eyes, you can see in the structure of most of your Bible printouts that those are the Beatitudes, and that was a message that was spoken to a large group of people, an international group, by Christ. And so these were crowds from different cities, origins, and cultures. And so we can accept that this message of the Beatitudes was spoken to an international group, a large group of people. But at the point that I'm going to look at this morning, Christ has shifted his focus from speaking in generalities to being specific to his leadership group, the people that were closest to him, his inner circle, us, the church, believers. It's gone from a public message to kind of a training moment. And in that transition, there's a verse in there that says that there will be difficulties in life. Christ does not say, if you run into problems, then this is how I want you to respond. He says, when difficulties come, this is what I have to say for you. So it's into this context, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And this is a verse we'll focus on as we end this morning. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. First of all, let your light shine before others. This verb here, to let shine, is progressive, it's continuous, it's not a match that's lit and burnt out. It is something that goes on and on, like the function of a lighthouse. When we think of the word shine, a better word would be radiate. And what is the thing that radiates that we all know about that we're so glad to see today? Sun, yes, exactly. I don't know how many foggy days you've had, but down in Milwaukee, it has been foggy for days, and I am so glad it's sunny today. So the sun radiates. It was there when you were born. It was there before you were born. It's going to be there after you die. It is continuous and ongoing. You can rely on it. It's not going to burn out anytime soon. That's what radiation is. We live near Chernobyl. We know about the other radiation. Same concept. 20, 25 years later, there's still effects of radiation showing up in Ukraine and in the surrounding areas as animals migrate and take those mutations with them. So radiation is an ongoing thing. It isn't just like, oh, God has given me a gift to be a light for 13 seconds. You know, for a couple years, I was able to do these things, and now I'm kind of out. It is ongoing. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. The word here, good, doesn't mean okay. There's a Russian word. The word is хорошо. It means okay, like affirmative, fine, positive, okay. That is not the good that this means. The good that this means is attractively good, good that inspires or motivates others to embrace what is lovely, beautiful, and praiseworthy. And do you want to know why that Ukrainian church has the opportunity to get their hands into what the government is doing? Because the good they are doing demonstrates above and beyond just stuff that is okay. They are reaching out with all their hearts, and they are doing things in a way that inspires and motivates people. So our works are to be seen as noble, worthy, and honorable. So what should we be doing? Those works, if you are to break down that word, are tasks, employment, action, something that's produced as a result of labor. It is intentional. When you get up in the morning, you don't just like, oh, oops, look, I'm dressed and I'm ready to go to work. No, you have to stop your alarm from the snooze reminder the sixth or seventh time. I don't know how you guys do it. You have to get up. You have to get in the shower. You have to get. That's all intentional things. When I go home after church today, if I left dishes in my sink, they're still going to be sitting there. Work doesn't just happen. It's a decision. We have to decide to do things well, no matter what it is, whether it's our job or how we serve at home or who we're talking to in the grocery aisle. It doesn't matter what it is. Our works are to be done well. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. So we can be as moral as we want to be, and we can wrap it up in Christianity wrapping paper and call it faith, but faith without works is dead. Faith that does not result in fruit is null and void. So the things we do, the way we shine, and how we do things should be productive in the end. So let your light shine before men so that they can see your good deeds. And then third, glorify your Father in heaven. So we're shining, we're showing people how we live our life, and now we're going to share. When we shine and show others the gospel in tangible ways, we're in a perfect position to share Christ with others. Because it's the gospel that brings people to repentance. It's not us. It's not our methodology. It's us being a vessel for God's Holy Spirit to do the work in someone else's life. So to glorify God here means to bring value to him, to give credit to whom credit is due. And giving credit to God for why you do what you do, this is sharing the gospel. We confuse this with other strategies in the church. I mean, my entire life, I've heard people say things like, well, so-and-so goes out there and tells people about Jesus because that's their gift. They're an evangelist. So-and-so does it because they have a one-year Bible degree. Oh, they took Evangelism Explosion. They do, you know, like this. That's what they do. But I'm not gifted for that. Why in the world would God allow us to go through dark places if it's not to shine our light? Those valleys enable us to connect with other people who are in the valley so that we can share how we made it out of our valley. And so in that way, God uses our stories, whether they're mountaintop or deep, deep dark in the valley, to connect with other people. Let's not confuse our God-given mandate to share the gospel with some strategy we can share in church. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. And so that's all we need to know to be commissioned. If you don't know Christ and you come and meet with pastor or some other leader in 10 minutes from now and pray the sinner's prayer, that's the point that you begin to go share your story. It doesn't need to be polished. It doesn't need to be perfect. All you need to do is share how God has been with you through the dark times and who to go to for help, Christ. when you're struggling. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Sharing the gospel is an act of love. It is the greatest act of love that you could do for someone else. Whether your faith was born in the valley or the mountain, it's usually born in the valley, or it's developed significantly in the valley, the uniqueness of your story allows you to share with other people the gospel. And so that's why we do what we do. This is why we answered God's call to move to Ukraine and why we're returning. This is why we do things that are hard. We do things that are uncomfortable. I've shared before, probably almost on a weekly basis now, it is not comfortable for us to live in Ukraine. In terms of comfort, it is not comfortable to feel like you don't quite understand what's going on all the time for years. It isn't just that you went there for a few weeks, but this is your life. Like, what? What? Am I understanding this right? And your child, like, you know, translate, "Mom, they're asking you for," you know, that is not comfortable. It is not comfortable to learn a new language. Jeremy and I are both professional communicators. We go to a place where we can't even speak. That is not comfortable. So God has not called us to comfort, but he's called us to share his story with other people. That's why we do what we do, and we invite you to do the same here. I understand. It's not comfortable. Sometimes, just internally, I feel so tired or crabby or whatever. I don't want to be nice to the person that I'm paying for my tank of gas with. Not that I would be rude, but is it really that hard to just suck it up and say, "Hey, how are you?" and look them in the eye and be genuine and offer to pray for them or wherever this takes us. So we invite you to do the same where God has placed you. That's probably here in this community. We did not move to Ukraine and on the way grow supernatural abilities to evangelize and reach the nations. We are the same people as you are. We struggle the same way you all do. Our family probably looks about the same as yours. Yet God has called each one of us in our humanity to share the greatest story ever told. And so that's what we want to do with you globally. We want you guys to be doing it here, us to be doing it there. However you can contribute financially and by prayer is wonderful. But bigger than that, let's each one of us be stepping out and doing what God's called us to do together. Thank you guys so much.